Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Morning. Better late than never. Or is it? He certainly probably doesn't think so. He's rocking out this morning. We're on ESPN News. It's a beautiful morning here in New York. We're at the South Street Seaport. Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. What you just heard there was just the guy's thoughts in the first hour of the program. Jay was bringing it from a passionate standpoint. Key doesn't think we should be playing any football anytime, anywhere soon. Gentlemen, last night, real quick before we jump right into it, atypical sports night. Nothing really going down other than Major League Baseball, whose regular season ends not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. So what did you do?
Chill. I worked yesterday. I had NFL Live, which I have again today. But other than that, I just chill, really. I mean, you know, caught a little bit of the Dodgers early on, and that was it.
Playoff-bound Dodgers.
Yeah. Okay. Hung out with my daughter, my wife, who was a dad, and also started getting ready for some tape on Eric Spoelstra and Brad Stevens tonight. Game two. Eastern Conference Finals.
Those two coaches, I know you have been talking about their tactical work. It's going to be awesome to see your opinion on that.
Block, I've never seen somebody block the ball actually while the ball was in the cylinder. And everybody was like, well, is that a goaltending? It was like, actually, it wasn't, because the ball never left Jason Tatum's hand. Mm-hmm. Your ball has to, like, the ball has to actually be out of somebody's hand in the cylinder. But to see that block, I mean, it looked like he should have snapped his wrist. Mm. His wrist was already flexed back. I've never seen a block like that before.
Tonight,
I'm on the bandwagon. That's what we call it, the bandwagon.
Tonight, 7 Eastern, ESPN, the Heat back in the conference finals for the first time since LeBron in 2014.
Need some water?
I'm really choked up talking about the Heat. They're back, and it's an emotional moment for me. We'll talk to Chris Bosh, LeBron's teammate, coming up at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, of course, on the Big 3 days. Okay, let's get into the big story, which is college football, the return of the Big Ten. And here's a question. This was an old school television show going out of the demo. Key, you may remember this show. Eight is enough. That was the old show.
Yeah.
So here's the question, Key. Is eight enough? The Big Ten is going to be playing essentially eight games over 8 weeks. Keep in mind, you know, Jay went to Duke in the ACC. They're going to try to play 11 games. There's no limit. You could play 4 games, 5 games, 8 games, 9 games. There's no limit to get into the college football playoff. The idea seems to be, though, you have to have a decent sample size so we can evaluate you. 8 games enough for the Big Ten to, maybe there's a team that's 8-0, 7-1, good enough to get into the college football playoff if some teams are playing 25% more games?
I don't think so. I would feel cheated if I was those teams playing that 25% more. And now you have the Big Ten only playing 8 games. I just wouldn't. I mean, but based on economics and who are we talking about from the Big Ten getting in? Are we talking about a Michigan, Ohio State? Then that's a different conversation, right? I mean, they always moving the goalpost depending on who it is. That's just what it is. But 8 and I'm playing 11 and 12, I would feel cheated if I was one of those teams.
All right, so let's look at the college football 2020 conference power rankings. You have SEC number 1, Big Ten number 2, ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, AAC. Okay.
Yeah, they just don't like us.
So, yes, they do not. So, Big Ten is number 2. So, what if Clemson only plays 7 games? What if Alabama only plays 6 games?
But what if they go 7-0 and win every game by 40 points?
Okay. What I'm trying to say is it's fluid. It's a constant moving target. And at the end of the day, I will pose this question, and Key, I'm curious how you'll answer this. If we know in a season where you won't be able to get ticket revenue,
right,
which I mean allocates to a huge percentage of all these different conferences and all these different schools about what they earn, mm-hmm. the Big Ten is one of the biggest earners there is in all college football,
no doubt.
So is Ohio State. So is Michigan. They rank top 2 of the Big Ten. You're telling me that college football playoffs, their biggest product on the biggest stage, they're not going to try to get their biggest brands involved in this? So we could have one of these situations where maybe one team is 8-1, or maybe, you know, a Big Ten team like Ohio State is 8-0 or 9-0, right? And the competition doesn't really stack up. I still guarantee you a Big Ten team will get into college football playoffs.
What do you think, Key?
You're going to have your biggest product on your biggest stage.
Makes sense.
You're going to do that in a year where you lose revenue.
Well, that's been, I mean, the Big Ten has been there pretty much every single year, right?
Ohio State won the first college football playoff.
So, Ohio State makes sense to me to get in, but it's still 8 games versus 12 or 11. And I understand what Jay is saying from an economic standpoint. It's a revenue generator for the NC2A and for those conferences. So that's something that they've got to figure out, I would say, and really think hard about cheating those other teams that are playing more games.
The problem is you can't figure it out, right? Because we're moving at warp speed. Look how much has happened in 40 days. In 40 days. I mean, so much has gone down.
They can figure it out, Jay, and simply say, this is what qualifies. If you play this amount of games, you're automatically eligible to be in the playoffs.
But you can't do that because you have to factor in COVID.
But if you miss some games, then that's the chance you take.
All right.
Right? I mean, if you miss some games, it's the chance you take.
I find that hard to believe that we wouldn't have the biggest brand names, like teams like Alabama and Nick Saban, you know, like Clemson.
Texas Tech playing Alabama.
It's not going to happen.
In the national championship.
It's not going to happen, my friend.
That'd be
Nobody
great.
Nobody will watch that game. And ratings matter. Money matters in 2020 when so much money is being lost.
Missouri playing Texas Tech.
You're not going to put a cap on how many games you need to win considering you have COVID in this equation. It's just not going to happen.
You're 100% right. It's just reality. You just have to face it. It's been the mantra since the first day of the playoffs.
That just sound nasty.
Yeah.
Missouri playing Texas Tech.
I ain't watching it. I'm not watching it.
So you got 8 games in 8 weeks, and then you'll have the Big Ten championship game on December 19th. That'll be 9 games. And then after that, the very next day, it'll be the college football playoff announcing their 4 teams. So we'll talk about from a regular season perspective, then the one conference championship game at the moment scheduled for the 19th. And they were able to push that back to your point, how the SEC pushing the regular season back on September 26th. So 8 regular season games and then 2 teams, probably to Jay's point, playing for a right to get a berth in the college football playoff. So 8/9. Depending on who you are, the majority of teams will play 8. We're live here at the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line in just over an hour. Kirk Herbstreit with his thoughts on everything. We're also brought to you by Sport Clips. It's a new season at Sport Clips. Haircuts, all stylists, clean, certified guys, smart. Get yourself back in the game with Sport Clips MVP experience. Enjoy a hot steam towel, relaxing shampoo, and winning cut. Check in online. Walk out with confidence. Jay.
I'm just laughing because, you know what, before I met Keyshawn in person, everybody's like, man, he has a really big personality. And now that I sit here with him every single day, man.
Can't nobody tell you about me?
Well, no, I was about to give you a compliment. Why? See, that's why I love him. Because he really is a massive personality. It's 24/7. I mean, if it's R&B songs here at 6:15, like 5:30 in the morning before we get in here, if it's all the jokes that we get constantly, it is you are constantly humored by Keyshawn. I love it. That's
it's
all I'm
morning
saying.
Show.
Got to have some fun.
You got to have some fun.
I got to ask.
I don't want people falling asleep at the wheel.
That's right.
So here's a question real quick for you, just real quick. Ohio State was number 2 in the Associated Press poll. Obviously, they didn't play any games, so they fell out. Games have been played. When is the right point? If we know it's October 23rd, 24th, but you know Ohio State is stacked, Penn State is stacked, Wisconsin is stacked. When is the right time to move some of these teams back in? There's no rhyme or reason. You can put them back in at any point right now, but they haven't played a game and won't for about 5 weeks. You're telling me 25 teams are better than Ohio State and they're not going to be in the poll next week? Where do you think that?
5 weeks? I think you put them back in a poll the moment, right now. Basically.
Right now.
Yeah, you just put them back in
a
poll.
Where would you insert them in right now? They haven't played a game.
Put them back at number 2.
Back at 2.
I don't know. I
it's a weird
clue.
Question, right?
I have zero clue.
I put them back at 2.
In number 2?
Put them
right
out
of the
back
gate?
Because like Zubin just said, there's not 25 teams better than Ohio State.
I agree.
I mean, so, you can count the teams that are on your hand that maybe is around that top 5. You got the Alabamas, the LSUs.
The Clemsons.
Right. And then you start stuttering at that. Oklahoma, now you're starting to stutter because you're like, well, who else? Michigan King ain't better than Ohio State.
It's just interesting, though. You start entering a slippery slope.
Yes.
Right? I test.
Right.
I test, and now how do you evaluate who's the best? That's what I'm saying. It gets so confusing.
Man, I'm going off what they look like.
I know.
Prior to all this and what I know they got, like Zubin said, they're deep. They're running deep. They got some true freshmen stacked over there ready to go.
Ryan Day is actually up the recruiting from Urban Meyer, which actually seems unfathomable.
Keyshawn, that's why we have a team from the Big Ten in the college football playoffs. There you go.
As you called it, Keyshawn J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, Kirk Herbstreit, Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, his thoughts, our lead college football analyst in 1 hour. Still to come, did someone who's possibly on the hottest seat in the NFL just get a vote of confidence or a kiss of death? In some cases, those two things end up being the same thing. Who's that? We'll talk about it next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
I mean, fellas, other than that, everything is totally fine with Adam Gase, right? Other than what you just heard.
Jeez.
He's brilliant, right?
You know, man, it's rough when you start talking about coaches. It's tough. You don't want to point out the obvious, but you have to. And the obvious is that was a bad choice from the beginning. And you just don't want to jump up and down on a guy that's down, but what else can you do? You can't say he's doing a terrific job and the team is moving forward and it looks great.
Right.
Then that would be a damn lie.
Well,
and I would be lying to the listeners and the fans of the New York Jets and lying to myself and to my colleagues. I can't do that. I'm not going to sit up and say that he's doing a hell of a job, that Sam Darnold is all of a sudden headed to the Pro Bowl because Adam Gase has coached him up. The only thing that I keep seeing is Sam moving backwards and not forward with a supposedly offensive guru. Just not, it doesn't add up to me. And then Mr. Johnson said what he said, Zubin.
Yeah, that's Christopher Johnson, the team's controlling owner at the moment, with Woody Johnson, a U.S. ambassador. Let's bring in Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. He played the last 3 years of his career with the Jets. So that's the yin to the yang that Keyshawn mentioned, Damian. Good morning. Essentially,
Hold on, before you got your damn internet working, man?
Yeah, I heard the service yesterday. It was not good.
Hey, the service. Oh, come on, man. The service is always A1, but I'm in the building.
Okay,
I'm
that's what's up.
Seaport. Yeah.
Ooh, you in the building. Right, okay, you in the building.
Yeah.
So he's like 200 feet away, so we'll go say hi to Damian in the break.
6 feet apart.
Socially distant, of course. Safety first. You tweeted Sunday that after watching the Jets, this is two bites at the apple. This is two head coaching bites at the apple for Adam Gase. That's your opinion. Christopher Johnson, the team's owner, Keyshawn just mentioned, he referred to Gase as a brilliant offensive mind. So which one is it? How can you be so far apart?
Well, listen, at the end of the day, Christopher Johnson, he's paying the big bill, so I can't say anything about that, but I know what my eyes is telling me. Listen, Adam Gase, I'm throwing out Peyton Manning. Adam Gase, when he's controlling the offense, when he's been the primary play caller, he hasn't had an offense ranked over 17th in the National Football League, not even in the top half of the league, okay? He goes down to Miami, gets fired down there. Then he gets another bite of the apple right after that. And I haven't seen any progression from the New York Jets, particularly on the offensive side of football. I haven't seen Sam Darnold make a big step as far as him being now a third-year quarterback in this league. So you tell me. You tell me as far as all offensively concerned, where are the improvements as far as the Jets is?
Yeah, you and I could hide behind Peyton Manning and get a head coaching job. That's easy to do, right?
Peyton Manning make a lot of people look good, Keith.
Yeah, no question about it. Let me ask you this, though. How likely is it that Adam Gase finishes the season or gets fired around the bye week before they take on Miami?
Well, I mean, Key, you know, anyone who watched that game against Buffalo, that was an embarrassment. Don't let the scoreboard fool you. That game was not competitive at all. And if you string together these type of performances, if you're a head coach, man, I think as an organization, you're going to have to make a move at some point. So, listen, they got San Francisco this week. And if they don't show any improvement, man, this fan base, Key, you know this fan base, they're just not going to tolerate it. Going to tolerate their team looking like an embarrassment on TV.
The team, I guess you say across the river? Is that what you say when you talk about the Giants? Is it across the river?
I think they're the only team in New York.
Okay, so the only team.
That's
the
me.
Only
That's team, me. I'm a Giants fan.
The only team
fan.
In New York, according to Jay Will, the New York Giants. What did you make of the week one performance by Danny Dimes Jones?
Well, listen, I think it was the same thing that we saw last year, the turnovers. He made a couple critical turnovers, particularly the one at the goal line, man. You're driving, I think it was like a 18-play drive. You do all of that, and then you get down to the goal line, you turn the ball over. You know, that's inexcusable because the number one job as a quarterback is to protect the football. And he made some plays. He made some nice throws. But at the end of the day, if you can't protect the football as a quarterback, then you're not going to be a franchise quarterback moving forward into the future.
D. Woody, can I push back on that a little bit? I mean, he didn't fumble the ball. Obviously, I know that was INT. But, I mean, could we also argue that the Steelers probably have the best pass-rushing defense there is in the NFL?
Yeah, the Steelers have one of the best defenses in the league. There's no question about it. But again, I go back to it was a trend last year, and then you come back into the first game this year. Again, Jay, I'm gonna tell you, you have an 18-play drive. You're marching. Everyone's doing everything possible to try to score, and then you turn the ball over at the goal line. Those are critical mistakes that you can't make at the quarterback position.
I hear you on that.
Let's stay right here with the Giants real quick, Damon. Saquon Barkley, obviously he struggled the other night. The offensive line just looked like that they need Damon Woody out of retirement to help them. What do they need to do to get him going in the running game in particular?
Well, it's hard for any team to run against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Key. They've been notorious for just being one of the best teams in the National Football League at stopping the run. So I'm not going to jump on Saquon and the Giants too early as far as that's concerned. But I think my bigger issue with Saquon, to be honest with you, is his pass protection. As much as we glamour and we talk highly of Saquon, that's one area of his game that, man, that's really disappointing, because there were times in that Steelers game where he just flat out whiffed in pass protection. And Key, you know this, as a running back, it doesn't matter how good you are, you need to be able to pass protect in the passing game, and that's a weakness of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, pass pro is extremely important.
D-Wood, talk to me about tonight's Thursday night football matchup between Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. How big of a game is this for Baker Mayfield and this team?
Jay Will, let me tell you something. If the Browns lose this game, it's DEFCON 1 in Cleveland. Wow. I'm going to repeat that again. If the Browns lose this game, it's DEFCON 1 in Cleveland. Here's why. Week 1, you get shellacked by the Baltimore Ravens, who are in your division. Yes, Baltimore, it's a division. We all know how good Baltimore is. We're talking about Baltimore as a Super Bowl contender this year. I get it. Now you come back week 2 against the Cincinnati Bengals, in-state rival within your division. You lose that game to a rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow, the alarms is going off. You can't lose this game if you're the Cleveland Browns going 0-2 in your division this early in the season.
If they go 0-2 in the division this early in the season, what do they do, though? What, you got some players there. You got the OBJs, the Landrys. You paid a bunch of guys. What do you do with the roster? Like, do you start trying to figure out who belongs long-term?
Listen, the only thing to remedy that, Key, man, is win a ball game. You're going to have to just turn around and try to win a ball game any way you can. And you do that by doing what you feel like is going to give you the best chance to win a ball game. And looking at this game tonight, we all talk about Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., but if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm telling Baker, turn around, hand that ball off to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, because that's your best money in order for you to get a win this week in week two.
Talking about another quarterback, one that you protected for a long time up in New England, who's now in Tampa Bay, Tom Brady. What did you make of Bruce Arians' comments about the way Brady performed in week one?
I'm not sweating it, to be honest with you, Key, because Tom Brady has been in a mental meat grinding for 20 years in New England. Key, you know about those type of meetings that Bill, Coach Belichick and an extension, you know, Bill Parcells would you know, put players through. I mean, that not everybody can handle that. So are we going to really sit here and be up in arms because Bruce Arians chatted Tom Brady into – in the public? Come on, Tom Brady's been through more than that. I don't make a big deal out of it.
I have a question for you, D-Wade. I don't know what those meetings were like, Bill Belichick. He was just alluding to it.
I'm going to tell you right now, okay? You were like literally scared in your pants when the meeting, because it didn't matter if you're Tom Brady, it didn't matter if you're Teddy Bruschi, didn't matter if you're Willie McGinnis, you know, Ty Law, it didn't matter. Like, Bill Belichick would get on everybody's head. And Keyshawn knows this. Yep. So imagine going through that for 20 years on eggshells, basically.
Nobody's
tripping off of Bruce Arians.
You're tripping off of him, right? I think what it is, though, from a public perspective, and I try to share this with the guys, and I was trying to share this with people yesterday as well, they've never seen this before, right? They've never seen Belichick. Belichick is going to give you, you know, you start talking about a performance, he's going to say, we all perform poorly. We all got to fix it. He's not going to praise you, not going to slam you in the public. So when you see Bruce Arians do it, everybody's like, well, wait a minute, hold on. This doesn't happen to one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL. So I think that's why everybody's kind of scratching their head that has not been in those meetings, in those tongue lashings. And trust me, I still hear it even on TV with him in my ear.
Yeah, you know what? And Tom Brady had to have known, you know, the style that Bruce Arians, you know, brings to the table from a coaching perspective, because the one thing we know about B.A., Bruce Arians, he's not going to hold his tongue. He's going to tell it to you like it is. He's going to tell it to you like it is in the media. So this shouldn't be a mystery to Tom Brady. But again, for all the people out there, Tom has been through the meat grinder for 20 years. He'll be okay.
Thanks a lot, David, for explaining that. Well said.
Yes, indeed. Damian not holding his tongue either. We'll see him on Get Up on ESPN at 8 a.m. Eastern Time with Greeny and the gang. And we'll have Adam Schefter for more NFL talk at 8:45 a.m. Eastern as well. Damian, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, D-Wood.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Final word goes to B.A., the guy he called B.A., Bruce Arians, just airing it out. If anybody is unclear whether he's cool with Tom Brady, Bruce Arians putting an end to it right here.
Yeah, Tom and I are fine, so I don't really care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think, and we left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine, so there ain't nothing to talk about.
Well, that tone of voice, that kind of laughing demeanor, it feels like everything's okay. They will take on the Carolina Panthers to try to get 1-1. That'll be Tom's Tampa debut in front of essentially nobody.
Can star players and coaches really be friends, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, let me tell you. Bill Parcells once told me, well, not just once, multiple times, different things. But one time in the game, I don't know if it was the game. And I believe we were playing the Cleveland Browns, and we were in Dallas. And Terry Glenn, the late Terry Glenn, was hit late on the pile. Bam! And I saw it from afar. I was running the route. I saw it from afar. So I proceeded to run down and – Earl Little, the safety, was on top of him, and I moved him along.
I remember that name, Earl Little.
I removed him along kind of with my foot, you know, just slightly moved him along. So I got a 15-yard penalty, and it took us out of scoring a touchdown. We kicked the field goal, so I took 4 points off the board. When I walk it back to the sideline, You know, I got that. You know how with a dog, if you ever had a dog, the dog that did something wrong and he know, and he get the head down and kind of go into a corner. So I did that with Bill. Bill walked over to me. He goes, I don't know what the hell you, because I had just left Tampa. He said, I don't know what the hell, blinky, blinky, blink, got into you down in Tampa. But you either dumb or you stupid. You got to be one. And I just, nothing I can say. Nothing. What do you want me to say? Typically, if a coach calls you dumb or you stupid, you're going to go at him.
React
a certain way. But B, I just, it's fine. You know, but that's the relationship that you have with your coach, and you are a player that they hold to high standards and regard.
Fair enough. So really no fracture there.
So if I ever say, are you dumb, you stupid, don't get mad at
you've
me.
You already called me stupid on national radio in the first week. It's okay.
So no fracture between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. The Clippers certainly are, though, fractured. So who gets the most blame for their playoff wipeout? We'll talk about that after this SportsCenter update. All right, so you all know the big story. The Big Ten is back October 23, 24, this after last month saying that we were going to postpone the season, and the commissioner wrote an open letter saying we won't revisit it. Well, as Jay has said this morning a couple different times, I guess money talks, and they are back. The Pac-12, amazingly, could also be back, perhaps, although that's a little bit more complicated, later next month. Our Heather Dinich, college football playoff reporter, ESPN College Football Insider, on SportsCenter last night with more about what the Pac-12 needs to do to cross some thresholds here.
Well, on Wednesday afternoon, there was a lot of back and forth between Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott and the governors in the states of California and Oregon, who said, hey, you guys can play. We're not stopping you from playing football. But those two states and the schools within them still have to get clearance at the local and city levels from public health officials to be able to have contact practices. They haven't been able to do that to this point.
Gavin Newsom is the governor of California. Kate Brown is the governor of Oregon. Game 2, Heat, Celtics, 7 Eastern tonight. Jay, I don't know if they could top game number 1, but they'll give it a shot tonight on ESPN.
Yeah, the Celtics don't need to play iso ball down the stretch. They had a limited amount of passes, but look, this is going to be a backyard street fight.
That's
what this is going to be.
Heat are 9-1 in the postseason.
That makes sense. Backyard street fight. Yeah.
You've been around me too long.
Yeah, I have.
Keyism in a way.
It's a Jayism. It just happened.
And week 2 of the NFL. It just happened. It's going to kick off tonight. Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield meeting, of course, for the first time. If these two guys stick, they'll be meeting plenty of times sharing the division. The Browns, believe it or not, have won 4 straight Thursday night home games. Of course, their big problem is winning games on Sunday. That's kind of been an issue. SportsCenter is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're brutal.
Those little side jabs, man.
Sorry. Just the truth. Download the DraftKings app and use code KJZ to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Can you be in a street fight in basketball?
I guess.
Football, it sounds like that would go more with football. Boxing or something, right?
I guess. I don't know. I just said it. I was going to say, like, well, where I grew up, your backyard could be in the street. But.
Look at those faces. I love it.
We'll get to that Clippers collapse in just a bit, but we want to hear from you in an hour. It's Thursday, which means it's time to get your gamble on. We got Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yes!
Yeah, from our ESPN.
So
no,
worries.
No, I'm excited,
excited
too.
Key does not get excited. I get really excited.
Joe Fortenbaugh, who's the host of our ESPN Daily Wager program, along with Doug Kazarian, is going to be here at 8:45 a.m. Eastern, and it's as simple or as complicated as you want it. A simple bet, over, under, a line, you want to go a parlay? We'll explain everything for the people that are new to gambling now that it's coming out of the shadow. So hit us up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It could be something as simple as, who do you like tonight, Browns, Bengals, with the line? Who do you like between the Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Bucks?
Line is minus 6.
I got to ask.
That was quick. That was too quick.
I got to ask him how much I won last week. Because I won last week. I need to know how much I won.
What did you win?
The missed field goal.
Oh, you did win that.
Yeah. It was like
what did you bet? You bet it like $43?
No, it was $18.25.
Yeah.
So I need to know what I made on that.
That's the first question for Joe Fortenbaugh. That question and your questions, again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This will be a Thursday staple on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So get on the line now. Get in quickly for Joe Fortenbaugh. It'll be a lot of fun. What's up?
I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns and the Bengals page, and a picture of Keyshawn and Dan Orlovsky pops up, and they're talking. And Keyshawn's face every time he listens to Dan Orlovsky talk is just beside – it gets me beside myself.
I thought he was over there laughing to himself. I thought he had a little man on his shoulder talking to him or something. I was like – what's up wrong with you, dog? Somebody talking to you?
There is certainly something wrong with the Clippers. This is pretty obvious.
Yay!
Key's happy. His Lakers are in it. Nuggets tomorrow, 9 Eastern, Game 1 ESPN Radio. So, Doc said, listen, after the game, he said, look, we didn't trust each other, which is a little strange. One of the biggest games in franchise history. Game 7 for this iteration of the club, and we don't trust each other. And then he kind of doubled down in the final seconds of the game with what the guys were doing moving towards the sideline. Take a listen to this.
I thought conditioning. We kept having to take guys out because they were tired. You know, we're in the playoffs. And, you had to do it. You know, guys were asking to come out, so you had to do it, you know. But that's not typical for Game 7.
Jay, I'm just a fan, but haven't the Nuggets played two Game 7s? They seem to be okay.
And we're down 3-1 in both series.
Right, they seem to be okay.
That goes to what I said about the tightness and the pressure, right? These dudes are in world-class shape. They could have gone forever. You can't tell me that those dudes were gassed from the beginning of Kawhi Leonard to the end of the bench. They're in top, Jay, am I lying? They're in top-tip shape.
I'm not saying you're – I think they're world-class athletes. I don't know if they're in world-class shape when I think about the Clippers, to be frank with you.
Really?
Yes.
So I would think that they would be in the best shape going. But the tightness and the stress takes something out of you. You know, when you are playing in a big game that all of a sudden you are now 3-3 instead of 3-1 or closing it out, and you're surrendering leads, there's something that happens to you. You tense up. And I think that tension and tensing up took something out of them. In fact, if they were checking out of games, that's what I contribute to that.
Yeah. And look, this is not me providing any excuses at all, because we're going to go in on the subject. But also having 3.5-4 months off of basketball, you would think, I know LeBron James takes that seriously.
But, coach, they've been playing when they've been off.
I hear you. I'm just not saying everybody – I don't know for a fact that everybody on the Clippers team is taking it seriously. But
I'm saying they're practicing, Jay, right? They're practicing.
Not for all those months. I mean, they had like a training camp that was a short, truncated training camp. Well, I'm not providing excuses.
They've been playing, though.
I understand. Look, there's no excuse.
They played
a
series before this.
There's no excuse. It's just when I watched them play –
that's puzzling to me that they would be out of shape.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, that's Doc Rivers, who has the best insight out of anybody else, saying that he played out of shape.
But coach, think about it. Think about it, Jay Will. As a former Duke national champion, second pick of the draft, the reason you was the second pick of the draft because you got down in college and you was ready to go at the combine and you played in the NBA, you can't sit here and tell me them dudes is out of shape in the middle of the damn season.
Well, regular in shape and playoff shape are two different things. Being playoff ready is different than being regular season ready, especially at the NBA level. And it didn't look like they were in playoff ready shape to me. But that's an indictment on Doc Rivers, though.
It is, but
that's an indictment on Doc Rivers.
Think about what you just said, though.
I know, homie, it's crazy.
Think about it, homie, for a minute. What you just said, I went homie on you, so I'm good.
I know you in it.
I'm deep in it right now.
I see it. I love
feel like
yourself.
I'm in the barbershop. But think about what you just said, though. It's a difference between regular season and playoff shape. You was just up 3-1.
I
surrendered multiple double-digit leads, but you're not in shape. So what? All of a sudden, you just get gassed in Game 7 in the late fourth quarter. But if you was up by double-digit leads in the late fourth quarter, your ass wouldn't be tapping out.
So if Doc Rivers said a key, he knows it better than anybody else knows it. What does that say about the leadership of this team, and what does it say about the coaching of this team? I'll give you I'll give you one quick stat that blew my mind because I heard it the other day, and I love Doc Rivers. I've known Doc. Obviously, his son Austin played at Duke, right? So there were 12 teams in NBA history that have given up 3-1 leads in the playoffs. 12 teams in NBA history.
Doc did it three times.
Yes. Doc is – after this happened
– So all them teams out of shape?
No, I'm not saying that. But, I mean, we'll get into this conversation more in the next segment. I also think when I think about the best player, like Keyshawn, when I see you walk into a room, that your energy permeates to everybody. It translates. LeBron, energy translates to the team. Jimmy Butler, energy translates to the team. Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, translates to the team. Kawhi Leonard – does not translate to
Look at your watch, man, and hand it to Zubin. We could talk later. Zubin, we got to go to break. Right.
No, we got plenty more to come. We'll get back into it. It's obviously a passionate subject. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Still to come, Keys, one of his favorite games. Take it or shake it. Take it or leave it, including the birthday boy, Patrick Mahomes. He's 25 today. Is he the best guy in the world athletically, 25 and under, in the world? If not, who could be better? The fellas will have thoughts on that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll bring more energy than that. That must have been a warm-up for Take It or Shake It. If you're unfamiliar, by the way, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, Herb Street, Kirk Herb Street, with us at 8:10 a.m. Eastern Time. It's a very big story in college football, the return of the Big Ten.
2020 is great.
And maybe the return of the Pac-12. We'll get to that in a second here in Take It or Shake It. Simple. We give you an option. You like it, you take it. You don't like it, you shake it. Let's roll. Take It or Shake It is brought to you by Grainger. All right, fellas. We mentioned the deal with the Big Ten. It's back. The Pac-12, it's still up in the air, but it's possible. The Pac-12 will return. Take it or shake it, Key.
Take it. Absolutely, they're going to return. When that date is going to be, I don't know, but I think it is before the calendar year turns. That when you look at it, you got all the other conferences rolling out, ready to go. The Pac-12 has some issues because of the state of California has four schools there. We got some fires going on. Oregon has two schools. They got fires going on. Local government has to make some decisions on what they want to do in terms of the health. But in the end, it's going to happen.
There has been this little thing that has occurred, and it's been a common theme, that whatever the Big Ten does, the Pac-12 then follows and does the same thing.
Right.
So,
but the Pac-12 was actually ahead of a lot of this before the Big Ten.
I understand.
In terms of testing.
Fair.
But they do tend to work in lockstep for sure. Here we go. OBJ finishes the season on the Browns roster. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. No, I don't think so. I think this thing, if it goes south tonight, it's going to, you know, and especially if he has a bad game, not because of him, but because of them, that at the end, you're going to start really hearing loud whispers that it might be time to move on from him and put him in a place where he can excel like a New England, like a San Francisco that desperately needs a talent like OBJ. It would be a shame that it didn't work out in Cleveland, but his personality and who he is as a player belongs on a winning football team.
Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, keep him. The one change you need to make is stop changing so damn much. Keep OBJ. Keyshawn, I said, give him the ball. Give OBJ the ball. Keep him happy. Keep all your weapons in Cleveland.
Barry is the team's GM. Kevin Stefanski, their first-year head coach. If you're unaware, Browns-Bengals tonight to kick off week two of the NFL season. All right, so we talked about this one before. Now, this is interesting. We're going international on KJZ because you don't – not just domestically now. We're big. Patrick Mahomes is turning 25 today. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes.
A rich 25.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Privilege.
There's rich and there's wealthy, right? There's rich and there's wealthy, right, Jay? For an athlete, he is wealthy.
He's wealthy.
No, for anybody, he rich. Wealthy, whatever you want to call it. $400-something million, that's a whole lot of money.
503 altogether. I want to shortchange him a few mil.
That's right.
Patrick Mahomes is the best athlete on his 25th birthday today. 25 and under, Mahomes the best athlete in the world. Take it or shake it. Best athlete.
Take it. Now, I don't know. I say you, like you said, best athlete.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, that's the
most accomplished.
But who put the best athlete part in there?
A non-athlete.
Right? So I'm just like, he can do some stuff. Remember, he's a baseball player. He can do some things. There's no question about it. And let's just stick to that. The reason I say yes is because for an international standpoint, man, I don't give a damn about no soccer. I don't care about all that because that's what you're going to go in.
You are a true American by saying that.
I don't care about soccer like that. I care about what I know and what I see. And what I know and what I see is Patrick Mahomes can deal. And there's no question about it. He does some freakish things at times from an athletic standpoint. But as far as being the most athletic, I'm sure some basketball players are more athletic than him. I'm sure there's a couple baseball players that may be, and even football players that's more athletic. But before this, he's the guy.
Okay.
Athletic, I don't know what athletic means.
Put that together.
You know what? I'm going to give some love to her. Naomi Osaka.
Yeah, tennis star.
Yeah, you could go there, too.
That's a great one.
You can go there.
There you go.
But you were going soccer, wasn't you? Because you was going to go Messi or something like that.
Yeah, but not 25.
Oh, no, not 20. Well, who
there's a kid named Kylian Mbappe.
Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah, 21. But I knew you was going soccer.
Is that France?
I knew it.
Yes.
France, yeah. He was incredible during the World Cup.
Parlez-vous français?
Oui, oui.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Key. I see it, boy.
I can play some music for you, too.
I don't need that in French with you.
For the audience that is left since we went on the soccer tangent, thanks for sticking with us. Kawhi or Paul George, both free agents after next season. Kawhi or Paul George, or both, I guess, will leave the Clippers after next season, take it or shake it.
Both, you saying?
Let's go or.
Take it. It would be Paul George.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard, it will not bounce. I think if anything, PG will leave to go to another team because Kawhi will finish the deal in L.A. He'll try to finish the deal and he'll try to get another player. Just based on how he was sitting next to Paul George at the end of that game with that face looking like, man, I got you here and you didn't help me. You know, that was one of them. Man, you see some of the memes some of that stuff is so brutal.
Internet had a field day. Mm.
Me too.
I will say this. If you Paul George, you cannot leave the Clippers.
Cannot.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
It will haunt you the rest of your career. After the way you finish game seven, even if you win it next year.
Let me ask you this, though.
Can't leave.
Will they be willing to pay him the money to stay?
I mean, who else are you going to pay?
Somebody that's out there. I don't know who's out there.
I mean, look, depending upon how they come back next year, that's the question.
As you get back to business, Grainger there to help you. Supplies, solutions, every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support and more. Grainger.com/recovery. Aaron Rodgers convo next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.